Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from Dr. Miles Monroe, provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and monroeglobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
So our topic today is twofold, but write this down: leadership, law, and morality. That's your note topic. Leadership, law, and morality. You will notice that I have law emphasized. We don't think about it much, but law is the most important component in life because it forms the foundation of all relationships. Law is also the source of values. It identifies value. It interprets value. So we talk about leadership, law, and morality, and the force of that morality, we have to consider the relationship between the three. I want to begin with a few statements about leadership and character. Write this down, please. The distinguishing mark of leadership or of the leader is his character or her character. That's a distinguishing mark. Because it is character that makes people trust you. You cannot buy trust. You cannot demand trust. Trust is given by other people in response to character. So trustworthiness is the currency of leadership. Trust is a product of stability. If I was to give you a definition of trust, it would be this. It would be an equation. I'll give you the equation. Trust is test over time equals trust. Write it that way. It's like an algebra sum. Trust is test over time equals trust. You cannot trust anything or anyone that has not been tested over a period of time. This is why, for example, people would pay $6,000 for a Rolex watch. Not because they want to buy an instrument to tell time. You can buy a Timex to tell time. So when you buy a Rolex, you are not buying time. You are buying trust. Because they tested Rolex before they released it to the market. When I was given a Rolex as a gift some years ago, there was a book in the little box that was about 1 inch thick. And I said to myself, why would someone write a 1 inch thick book on a watch? And then when I opened it, I saw a photograph of an elephant standing on a Rolex. Then I saw another photograph with a Rolex in fire. And suddenly I realized this is not a watch. This is an instrument that has been tested over a long period of time. Then there was a page in the book that says, guaranteed for life. That means you will never again have to buy a watch. You can trust this watch until you die. Are there leaders who you can trust forever? Do they have longevity? Trust is a product of what? Stability. Durability. That's trust. That leads to point number four, right? Make a note. The leader must be fixed, predictable, stable, like a statue. And you know, in our session I did yesterday morning, I defined character for you. Character is a word that means fixed, predictable, set. Now, let's talk about how law relates to this. I'm going to give you a lot of information in 10 minutes. So you must listen carefully, because most of us never thought about the power of law informing our values and our character. Law is the foundation of creation. It took me 40 years to make that one statement. All of my assessment of life and my studies of life so far on my brief sojourn on this planet, I have come to the conclusion that everything runs on law. Law is inherent in creation. Law is the glue that holds the universe together. As a matter of fact, everything exists by law. And everything exists on law. We have 500 million galaxies that have been identified by the astronomers. They have not yet found the end of the universe. And this massive divine created structure we call the universe, the physical one, is so orderly that you can literally calculate the movement of a rocket from Earth to Mars, because you can predict that every single component in the universe is working on a timing. If there was no order in space, you could not send a rocket to the moon. There are laws built into creation. Everything exists for law. Please write that down. Everything that was created was designed to function by law. Everything. And that's why laws protect products. When you buy a product, normally when you open the box, you don't see the product. They hide it under a book. And that book is called the manual. It's simply a book of laws. And that book is a book we don't normally read completely. That's why we have a cell phone that has 3,000 functions, but you only know four. Because you have not read the inherent built-in laws in that product. So you are not benefiting from your investment because you violated laws. Law is the key to life. Now, people think that when you are free, you're free from law. This is the struggle in the world today. Everybody wants to be free. Free from what? We really want to be free from law. Let's talk about that for a minute. The greatest ideal of nations in the world is freedom. I am not sure that that is the best ideal. If you study all of the so-called free nations or Western democracies, freedom has become their number one ideal. We want to be free. Well, here's a problem. Freedom without law is anarchy. No one is ever free. It's impossible to be free. It's like a fish saying, I am tired of water. I'm out of here. This water is restricting me. I hate the fact that I cannot leave this pond. So on Monday, I'm going to jump out of this water. I'm going to set myself free. The problem with the fish is water is a law. And there are some laws you didn't create. The fish did not decide to live in water. Somebody else decided that. That's called divine law. Whenever you attempt to violate a law that was inherent in creation, you die. So all these people marching in your country with placards, demanding their rights. Rights to do what? To be free from laws. For example, the law of being a male. I mean, you can demand your right all you want. But the problem is, maleness is not a product of human legislation. You didn't choose to be a male. Now you can have surgery and adjust some parts. But it doesn't change the law. You are stuck with law. Write this down, please. Laws protect freedom. There's a paradox. Laws do what? Say it loud. I want you to get that in your mind. Laws protect freedom. You cannot be free without law. And that's a paradox. Therefore, laws protect freedom from anarchy. I want to talk about how this relates to a nation. What is a nation? I did a little brief definition for you. There are different ways to define a nation, but I would give you a kind of a comprehensive one. A nation is a community of people committed to a common heritage. They should have one language. They relate to a certain land mass. They are submitted to a common jurisdiction. Jewish jurisprudence, we call it. They commit to the same ideals, values, and governance. And they are usually submitted to one deity. Do you know why that's important? Because there has to be a source for your law. You cannot just create law. Law needs authority. When God was creating the nation of Israel, for example, the first thing he gave them was law. But if you study the laws he gave them, the first law was about him. Why? Because all true law must have a source that is greater than you. If you create the laws that you live by, you can adjust them whenever you want. And that's what we're doing right now. We call it constitutional reform. In other words, if you decide that marriage is between a man and a woman, if you think you decided that, then if you get tired of that, you can adjust it. But if the source of that law is greater than you, you cannot just decide to adjust it. It's the power of law. How does this relate then to order in a country? Make a note. The absence of law is disorder. Sounds simple. And the key to life is order. And the source of order is law. And the ultimate law of life is law, because there is nothing more important in life than law. I'm going to prove that today. As a matter of fact, there are some religious people who emphasize grace more than law. I caution you. I caution you. Grace is never freedom from law. It might be freedom from rituals, but not law. Law protects you. It sustains everything. It preserves, it guards, it promotes life. These are important to write down. If a fish stays in water, it lives. And as long as it keeps submitting to water, it guarantees its life. Laws promote life. Therefore, without law, there's no definition in life. We define life through law. The reason why a seed does not need prayer when you put it in the ground, it's because when you know law, you don't need to pray. Oh boy, I'm in trouble now. Those religious people looking at me, them religious people. Look, God designed the seed to operate by certain laws. The law is put it in soil, give it moisture, and let there be some sunlight with some ultraviolet rays that will ignite the chlorophyll. So you don't need to pray. Just submit the seed to the laws. And the tree comes out by itself. Law guarantees success. We are sitting in this room with over 50 nations represented. And I don't think that your governments themselves understand law. And I say that with authority because I've been talking to some of them. They understand politics. And they use politics to break law. You are here to stop that from happening in your country. You have to go back and become the government. You never thought of running for city council. Go back and consider it. Because leaders in government tamper with legislation. Legislation is the creation of law. Make a note, please. The foundation of all nations is law. Nations are built on law and they are sustained by law. The quality of a life in a nation is determined by law. The quality of life in it. National life, therefore, is protected by law because all societies must adhere to law if there's going to be a common unity. We call it a community. Community is produced and sustained by law. What makes a community is not a government. It's law. This is why, even though we may not accept it in application, at least we admit that law is the source of our national identity. I'm getting at something. Stay with me for a minute. Okay, so let's talk about law and the priority placed in the creation by the Creator. The first thing God gave Moses for national development was what? Law, not power. He gave him these 10 specific laws. Secondly, he gave it to Moses because, and this is the most important statement in the whole session, laws create values. Laws create values. When someone creates a law, what they've done is they've told you what's important. When you open your box, you just bought a new iron. to iron your clothing. And you'd see laws in this little book that say, do not operate near water. Now, that's a law the manufacturer gave you from the beginning. So what they're saying is, this is valuable. Do not operate near water. There's a value here. So laws produce value. We have a concept we call traditional values. You ever heard that term before? Traditional values are important. Now, this is important to write down. Traditional values are laws we trade to generations. Let me explain what I mean. Write the word trade down. Trade is the foundation for tradition. A tradition is a component, a law, that you keep trading to the next generation. These are not laws that you can decide to tamper with. They are permanent. You keep trading. This is what you teach your children's children. Traditional laws. So the argument in most countries today is, are we losing our traditional values? Why? Because law create value. The things that are valuable usually have a law attached to them. Like, do not steal. That means we value protecting property. That's the value. Do not lie. Bear false witness. That means we value honesty and truth. Every law has a value. And there are some laws you have to trade from generation to generation. Your children must learn the permanent laws of life. I didn't say rituals, because sometimes rituals are historically experiential. Sometimes circumstances may force the creation of a ritual or a custom, but a law is different. A true law is a principle. You can't touch it. It touches you. You cannot break true law. It breaks you. For example, if a fish decides to leave water, you don't need to kill it. If you uproot a plant from soil, you don't need to kill it. Laws kill you. You don't kill law. And somehow man thinks he's smarter than law. I don't know. We got these highfalutin educated fools sitting in your parliaments discussing law that they can't touch. And they hand them down to your school children while you sit there with your religious songs. And we sacrifice our children on the altar of stupidity, dressed in a suit. Law must not be tampered with. Because law is the source of value. Make a note of this. Laws produce culture. This is the most important statement I'll make because it relates to values. What did I say? Law produces culture. If you want to change the culture of a country, all you have to do is change the laws. This is why the elements in your society who want to change the culture of your community, they're not even worrying about your worship services, your synagogue worship, your church meetings. They ignore you. They're going after the politicians who deal with legislation. They want to change the values of your country. So they go after law. And one by one, for example, in the United States, we got state collapsing, state by state collapsing to certain legislative transformations. You know, and they got the blue states or the white states or the red states. And you sometimes I see the map and I go, oh boy, the colors are becoming one slowly. It is the encroachment of cultural transformation. They are changing the values while you sit there. They decide what's valuable. You must not leave this summit and leave it the way you met it when you go back home. Write this down. You cannot criticize what you permit. You cannot oppose what you allow. Your loudest disgrace is your silence. Law. So here's the bottom line. Write it down. Whoever makes the laws create the culture. This is dangerous stuff. Whoever creates the law creates the culture. You got in your country, they call groups are called lobbyists. Lobbyists are dangerous people, depending on what they're trying to transform in your society. And most of them are well-financed because they know that most of your politicians have no character. So their treasure chest is full. And when they enter the halls of judgment, when they enter the bowels of legislation, they come loaded with money because they know that politics can be bought. And all they're after is changing law. Why? Because we must change the culture. The issues that you are concerned about will soon become culture. The word culture means to grow. Write that down. It's a simple word. It means to grow. What that means is when you have a baby, when it comes out of the womb, it lands in a culture. And the culture grows up the child. So if you got a culture of Sodom and Gomorrah, your kid lands in Sodom. It's a culture. And the culture begins to work on them, beginning from grade school. And it gives the five-year-old kid a book and says, this is normal. Do you know, and we got our Hebrew scholars here, do you know that the Hebrew word for law is an interesting word in English? It's the word nomos, N-O-M-O-S. There are a number of words, but this one is one that caught my eye. N-O-M-O-S, nomos. It's from the word normal. Law creates norms. You ever heard that term? Norms. That means it is normal for two women to be married very soon. It'll be norm. Why? Because you created a law that permitted it. So your grandchild will not even think it's strange anymore the way you think it may be strange. It'll be normal for your grandchild, and your grandchild might submit to that. After all the work you've done to try and be pure and adhere to law, your grandkid is in trouble. Do you understand what I am saying today? Are you sure? This is serious business. And so I put it to you. There's some things you shouldn't change in life. Write them down. You shouldn't change principles. You shouldn't change natural law. You should never touch divine precepts. You shouldn't change truth or roots or foundations. A tree can never outgrow its roots. Have you noticed? Sometimes we think we are modern now. We don't want any more archaic laws. It's like telling the root, I'm tired of you. No matter how tall a tree grows, it is stuck with its root. It is the root that actually gives it life. The fish can never outgrow water. You are never too big to detach yourself from the source of your law. You cannot just decide to change things in life. I put it another way. It's like a house. No matter how old your house is, it can never outgrow the foundation. The foundation is the law. No matter how many stories you may add to the house, the foundation determines the safety of that house and the value of it. So law is the foundation of life. It is the key to culture. I give an example here. No matter how old you are, you can never outgrow oxygen. You know, I've been on the earth for 59 years now. I'm just tired of oxygen. I'm 95 years old. I'm tired of oxygen. Let me try something else. Let me redefine life. Heard that lately? Redefinition of terms. We will redefine male. We will redefine marriage. We'll redefine, our family. What are you doing? There's some things you can't touch. But we are trying. And any attempt to adjust natural law or divine law ends in natural destruction. Can I predict the future of your country? It's not difficult. We can never be smarter than truth. Do you know what a prophet is? You know, a prophet? A prophet is someone who knows the laws. That's all. And they just kind of assess environment and they go, let me predict what's going to happen to you. I can be a prophet to a fish. You can prophesy to a fish. If you come out of water, you shall die. Why? Because I know the law of the fish. So you don't need to necessarily argue with those powers in your country that are trying to reform law. Just make sure you speak loudly about the future. That's what a prophet is. Someone who speaks loudly about the consequences of broken law. That's all a prophet is. Some of these things you call prophecies, I tell you. It's not complicated. Ancient laws are always to be used as reference. There are some statements written by some great men. Solomon says, do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors. Now, Solomon is an interesting guy. You know, his father was David. And David really loved the laws of God. He taught his son the value of these laws. And Solomon concluded, my daddy was right. So he's telling all his sons after him, don't touch the ancient boundaries. What are we doing right now? We are tampering with ancient boundaries. I mean, we knew what a family used to be, right? Now we're tampering with it. We got two men adopting children, calling it a family. This is ancient meddling. Here's another one I thought was interesting. Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads. Everybody said we had a crossroads. Now, Jeremiah is talking to 2014 right now. He's saying, look, your country's at a crossroads. City, at a crossroads. Governments, at a crossroads. And he gives advice. He says, look, ask for the ancient paths. When you are confused, go back to the root. If you don't know what to do, run back to law. I know you never saw that verse before. I know this because you are too spiritual. He concludes. He says, ask for the ancient paths and ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. When you obey law, there's always peace. How many of you ever ran a red light at a stop sign? What happens to your body? Everything changes in your body. The chemicals go crazy. All of a sudden, you start looking in the rearview mirror. You're checking everywhere. Why? Because there's no peace. You, come on, you all clap. If you know know you're not committing adultery. You got peace in your bedroom. Law guarantees peace. Why there's no peace in your community? Because young people are violating law. What is crime? Violation of law. Everything is law related. And if we don't understand the power of law, how it relates to character development and values, we will never be successful. Another statement by Solomon. Solomon said, do not move the ancient boundary stones set up by your forefathers. The first century leader Paul says, see it to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Now, what they call breaking of law, they call it philosophy now. They have big words for it. As a matter of fact, he says, which depends on human tradition. We create values we want to trade to our children. So we violate ancient law. Notice Paul just says it plainly. He says, the basic principles of this world are what they choose instead of the law of Messiah. Can I suggest to you that we don't even understand Jesus? Jesus was a powerful reminder of law. Let me read his first public statement about law. He says, do not think that I have come to destroy law. Why? Because I know you will think it. Matter of fact, let me just take you there. Let me define law for you. Write this down quick. Laws are principles. Principles are, the word prince means first. So principle means first law. Why? Because there's some second, third, fourth, and fifth laws that come along. So when someone says something is a principle, they didn't create that. That's the original one. Laws are original rules. They are foundations. They are inherent. They are natural. Laws are creative injection to preserve life. As a leader, you must make a decision from this day forward that you will never tamper with divine laws or natural laws, and that you will defend them, protect them, and die for them. I remember reading Martin Luther King's statement. It shook my heart. He said, there comes a time when you must break human law when it conflicts with God's law. This is for the religious people. Because we got some folks going around now emphasizing grace. And I warn you, grace does not cancel law. It gives you the right to obey it again. When you are set free from prison, the judge always says, don't you ever come back to my courtroom. What he's saying is, go out of here and obey law. So freedom is to obey law. Okay, I understand this. He has a statement. For the law was given through Moses. True. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. True. But be careful when you use these terms. Grace is not just favor. It's also ability. Grace gives you ability. To do what? To keep the truth. What is truth? The original information. And so, for those of you who need proof, let's read this together. Go. They are godless men who changed the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. They use grace to do what? As license for immorality. This conference is about the moral force of leadership. And the only way to guarantee morality is law. Some of the politicians have lied to you and said things like, you cannot legislate morality. Don't you ever believe that. That is not true. Every law is moral. Every law has moral implications. You cannot make a law that doesn't contain morality. I submit to you, my friends, that grace is simply given to keep law. There are people walking around saying that the Apostle Paul preached against law. Shows me your theology. Let's read what he says. He says, you, my brothers, read out loud with me, please. You, my brothers, you were called to be free. Yay! Yippee! Freedom! Woo! Don't you love freedom? But read the rest of the sentence. Oh, stop it. You're depressed by now. Stop. He said, don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in this command, he says. A command is a law. Love one another. If you love your brother, you will not steal his material. If you love your brother, you won't sleep with his wife. If you love your brother, you'll pay him what he is worth. These are all moral activities. It's moral not to steal, but it came from a law. Some people think that love replaces law. I'm going to disappoint you now. Take a deep breath. All right? I want to ask those religious people in here, how many of you love Jesus? Let me see your hands. Come on, don't be afraid. You're nervous now, see? Okay, then let me quote what he said. If you love me, you won't sing, you won't pray, you won't meet together and have worship. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my laws. Law is proof of love, not the cancellation of it. Law is an expression of love. You tell your children, do not play in the street. That's a law in this house. Is that love? Absolutely. The kid thinks it's restriction. The child says, I can never do what I want to do. That's exactly right. I love you too much for you to kill yourself. All law, true law, is an expression of love. Peter said these words. He said, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Look, I know that grace is available on Sunday morning, so I'm going to sin on Saturday night. That's what he's saying. He's saying you are using grace as a license for Saturday night activities. I'm going to synagogue on Saturday morning. So Friday night, I'm going to have myself a good time. We use it to cover up evil. You are never free from law. You are free to keep it. Oh, boy. I won't get through this. Anyhow, come back next year. I'll finish this. I don't know. Write this down, please, out loud. Read, David. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Reviving what? The soul. What's the soul? The mind. He says, the law of God gives you sense. It makes you wise. It stimulates your conscience. Reviving the soul means to give you conscience again. I was reading a newspaper going to London the other day, and there was an article about a famous singer from England. And they were trying to describe his relationship with his mate. And they said, he's the husband, and the other guy is the wife. And they've been trying to decide which one is more wife than the other. Their conscience is gone. That's why they hate law. Because the law wakes up the soul. You all know that singer. He's a very famous singer. The statutes of the Lord is trustworthy, making wise stupid people. Read it. That's what it says. It makes stupid people wise. There are stupid people in your parliaments, in your senates, who sit and debate things that even dogs don't understand. I've never seen two male dogs confused. And we got men with PhDs debating the issue. I'm amazed. And what incredibly, they try to justify it. They try to legislate to change your rectum to an entrance. And your rectum just wouldn't cooperate. It is still an exit. And these are intelligent people sitting at a table being paid by your taxes. It makes wise the simple. The next time you see a politician who is supporting these things, just shake his hand and say, you are very simple. Law creates value. Values produce ethics and morality. So let's talk about you as a citizen for a minute. A citizen's responsibility is to obey the laws of the land. Do you agree? Absolutely. Anyone who breaks the least of these laws, words of Jesus, and teaches others to break them, is the least in the kingdom of heaven. Oh boy, you never saw that before. See, you think grace is the whole issue. It's not grace, it's law. You teach people to what? Stop keeping law. He says, you are a disgrace to the kingdom. You still should not steal. As a leader, when you sit in the secret office negotiating a contract for your government, my question is, which laws are you obeying? What protects the country from corruption? You know your cousin doesn't own a road building company. And the contract is for $200 million to build roads. And you give the contract to your cousin. He doesn't even own a company and never built a house. I want to talk about a road. This is happening, friends. Violation of law. He says, I expect you to keep law. I expect you to teach law. He said, your status in my country is determined by how you keep and teach law, not grace. We got so much lawlessness in religion that even the priests go into jail. The preachers are going to jail. This new show that came out with these preachers in Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm going to touch it for a second. I just suddenly went, oh my God, this is lawless. See, I don't live in that country, so I got to depend on guys like Joe's to handle that. If that was here, I'm telling you, I'd be in their face. Every day, I will disgrace them. Silence is permission, and you cannot criticize what you permit. Speak out against evil. Engage what is wrong. Challenge what is corrupt. Be known for challenging it. Leaders are made famous by what they challenge. You never remember compromises. I want you to list this, and then we're going to close. I'll probably make an adjustment tomorrow and try and finish this because this is too important. Write this list down. The foundation of ethics is law. We're dealing with character in this conference, and that's why I'm showing you that law is the foundation of character, because it is the person who have decided to keep law that becomes a person of character. They are immovable. They found some things they refuse to violate. And character means fixed. Number two, law is the source of culture. Number three, law is the source of morality. Number four, all law produces moral implications. Number five, written law and spoken law feeds the conscience. This is why you speak law and you write law, because sometimes the conscience needs a little bit of help. You know, from Adam to Moses, there was no written law. By the time Mo came around, things were so bad, the Creator says, you know something? I need to document this stuff. Because their conscience seemed to be dead, sleeping. So he gave written law to wake up conscious law. Can I put it this way? This is very important. The more written law a country needs, the more corrupt the country is. If your company needs a policy book that's 2 inches thick, your company is corrupt. The more written laws you require is an indicator that your organization or your country is dying. The highest form of morality is when a law is in your mind. I'm saying some important things. So if you have to give your CEO a policy book to follow in negotiating deals, your CEO is in question. No, your whole company is in trouble. Written law law wakes up the conscience. Why? Somehow it has been put to rest by your constant violation of laws. Conscience never dies, I promise you. But you can actually paralyze it. In this book, I beg all of you to get a copy. Just released last night. You saw it last night. In this book, I have an entire chapter just on conscience. You need to be reintroduced to conscience again. Because conscience is the key to character. You have no conscience. How could you take that money? You have no conscience. How could you treat that man that way? You have no conscience. How could you steal? You have no conscience. How could you pad that invoice? See, we keep referring to conscience. Character is built on conscience. I know my wife isn't here, and I'm traveling all by myself, 3,000 miles away, and there's a woman downstairs, and she wants to see me. The only safety I have is my conscience. Conscience is, in this, please read this book, please. I'm telling you, 12 years of research. I figured out something. The only person you sleep with every night is your conscience. And whether you have a good sleep or not depends on your relationship between you and your conscience. And your conscience can give you cancer. You'll think about that next month. That's why people get sick. Their conscience activates free radical cells in their bodies. A free radical cell is a cell that can code for cancer or become a cell that creates immunity. It's the same cell. It depends on the stress on it. Your conscience creates stress and can turn a cell into a cancer cell, give you a tumor. Live right so you don't get cancer. Doesn't mean everyone who gets cancer doesn't live right. But believe me, it helps to live right. Number six. Conscience is unspoken law. Number seven, law is the source of values. And number eight, law establishes values. So this is where character gets its root. Law. This is slide number 11. I have 110. Thank you very much.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.